Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians, also known as the Wadani. Soon after the tragic incident, Elizabeth took her 3-year-old daughter Valerie, and they lived among the same Indian tribe that had killed her husband. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. We've been talking about that awful thing called self-pity. When Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he told the disciples that he was going to suffer many things up there, and he was going to be killed. And of course, Peter's immediate reaction to that was probably what yours and mine would have been. Oh, Lord, no. We can't let that happen to you. And Jesus gave a very tough retort to his beloved disciple. He turned to him and he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You think as men think, not as God thinks." Mm-hmm. And I think what was really behind Peter's remark was an insistence that Jesus really ought to pity himself. He ought not to let himself get into that danger. But of course, Jesus was pursuing, like a thunderbolt, the pathway of obedience to his Father. And there was no room whatsoever for self-pity, although there was going to be a great deal of room for suffering. Tell us what you have to say on the subject of self-pity, Val.
Well, I think you can start out when children are very young to teach them that any little hurt, any little bump, does not need to be made a big deal of. I think we parents often give too much pity and too much sympathy. Not that we shouldn't give some sympathy, but to make a big deal of it, to ask, "Did you hurt yourself?" encourages the child to be full of self-pity. I think of how Theo comes in sometimes. He's 4 years old. He'll come in from playing outside. He's skinned his knee. He's crying his head off. And I'll say, "Theo, this is another one of those times when the Lord wants you to learn from this to be stronger and braver. And every time you fall down, he is allowing it so that you can learn to be braver, so that you can be a strong little boy." And that helps him. He usually quiets down somewhat. But to encourage this dwelling on how awful it is doesn't help the child to grow up to be a servant of the Lord. We servants of the Lord are not to spend time worrying and thinking about themselves. I know for many years I was so worried that I wasn't grow. I analyzed my own growth so much that I was forgetting the purpose of growing in Christ, and the purpose is to glorify Christ. I wanted to bring glory to myself.
I think the mother has a very very difficult task sometimes in not pitying the child, because, of course, a mother's heart immediately wants to pity. And I remember when we first went in to live with the Alca Indians, Val, and you were being carried on that first trip in a little wooden chair that an Indian named Fermin had built. And he was walking in front of me, and I was walking behind. But you were facing backwards, so you were looking at me. And Fermin said to me, "You need to walk in front of me." And I said, "Why?" Well, he said, "Because your baby will cry if she sees you."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I guess he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're much more likely to cry at your mother, to your mother,
yes,
than you are if it's somebody else. And I heard a story about a man who saw a little boy sitting on a curbstone with blood running down his leg from a skinned knee. Mm-hmm. And the man came up to him and said, "Doesn't it hurt?" And the little boy said, "Yes." He said, "Why aren't you crying?" The little boy said, "I don't have anybody to cry to."
I think we can teach them very young that they take their troubles to the Lord, but they don't need to spread them out to let everybody know what their troubles are. And I think it's okay to say to a child, are you okay? You're going to make it. Then I keep on saying, you're going to be all right. And I want so much for my children to look beyond the present, to believe that God is in control, and that and He will teach us to be mature, accepting what He's doling out to us. In acceptance lieth peace, Amy Carmichael said. And it's not in saying, why did this happen to me, that we're going to find answers. But in accepting God's hand upon our lives, we find security and peace.
What has happened to bravery, just plain old-fashioned courage and bravery? We're being told these days that it's not a good thing to teach little boys that they ought to be brave. That's the way little boys always used to be taught. You're not supposed to cry. You must be brave. There's a place for tears, but you and I are talking about training children for heaven and trying to get them away from preoccupation with themselves. And especially when there are other children around, they are tempted, I think, to make more of a fuss because it gives them a certain kind of distinction to suffer. And they have to make a bigger deal out of it than is really necessary at all. But I know you, Val, as a very compassionate mother. If we have some mothers listening to us who are saying, that's awfully tough, those things that they're saying. It sounds as if they have no heart at all. And, of course, that Elizabeth Elliot, she must have a concrete streak right down her back. I know you're not going to be accused of that, Val. You have a gentle and very quiet way with your children, at least as far as I can tell.
Well, we do have to have their souls as our priority in training, not their emotions. I mean, we are to teach them to have self-control, but the goal in mind is to bring glory to God. We are put on this earth to obey God and to enjoy Him forever. And obedience means saying no to ourselves. And so I'm thinking that if we are an example to our children of not spending time on ourselves, not pitying ourselves, they will grow up to learn to put Christ first, to put others first, and not to feel sorry for themselves. I have a few verses in John 10 that I'd like to read. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. If we can teach our children that because Jesus laid His life down for us, then we are to follow in His footsteps and lay down our lives for one another. Spending time on ourselves leaves no time for others. I think of just last weekend, my daughter Colleen wanted to have a friend to spend the night. Because I forgot to call the mother the night before, it didn't work out, and she was so upset with me that I had not done all that I should have done to get the girl over to our house. I did talk to the mother right before supper on Friday afternoon, but at that point it was too late, and the mother said, yeah, if I'd known last night, I would have been able to bring her. But Colleen wanted to spend time on feeling awful and thinking that this happens to her all the time and thinking that it's not fair. And I had to say to her, Colleen, you have to get over this. There will be another time when you can have a friend over, and you look forward to that time, but you cannot stay mad or stay upset or look pouting for the next hour because you didn't get what you wanted tonight. And again, motherhood is line upon line. We have to repeat things over and over again. And I think it's almost easier with little ones because their little troubles are so short. It seems as they get older, they think more and more about their troubles. And I haven't exactly figured out how to get a child that's older over her problem except to give her something to do for someone else or to help her to serve in some way in the house. And that does help, of course, that gets them to putting their mind on something rather than on themselves.
These are early lessons which would help to lay the foundation for our understanding Isaiah 58:10, which is to me the most marvelous antidote for self-pity. If you pour yourself out for the hungry, then the Lord will satisfy your needs and will make you like a watered garden. But it takes pouring oneself out instead of sitting around feeling as though I have been badly treated. Did I deserve this? What did I do to deserve this? It was not fair, etc., etc. Self-pity is really satanic. I am convinced of that.
It's a dead-end street.
Very glad that you're working on your children. I had a letter from a little girl who said a very lovely thing to me. She said, "You make me brave." Mm. Well, I don't know how in the world I made her brave, but I thought it's wonderful that a child wants to be brave and they need all the help they can get, especially when they feel as though they've been badly hurt. Thank you for being with me again today, Val.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.